All right, we are ready to go, all plugged in. It's Saturday the 25th of November 2017 here in Sydney, Australia. And you're listening to the Kraz Files podcast with Adam. And as usual, everything's over on the website, krazfiles.com, C-R-A-Z-Z. Everything's over there, so just check that out. Also goes over to iTunes, and plenty of great info going up on the website daily as we move through this crazy system, but investigative reporter John Rappaport's back. How you going, buddy?
Good. Good. Working away. Lots of new stuff.
You have. Chiseling away. And I can say as well that your latest articles are up on krazfiles.com as well. I always put them up there so folks can read them there, and go over to No More Fake News as well, and check it out. A lot on your horizon as well. It doesn't seem to stop lately. You're pushing so much out over there. Anything in particular that's...
Well, I did want to comment on something you sent me.
So much.
Which is about vaccines. Now, I don't know if this is just in one area or the whole country, but you mentioned now that... they're not going to allow exemptions for children from getting vaccinated because they get a note from a doctor. They've decided that there are too many doctors potentially out there who will write exemptions because they are opposed to vaccination. So they now are going to impose this system in Australia whereby something like an immunization registry is the standard that has to be consulted before any sort of exemption from vaccination can be given to a child. What does that actually mean? Well, it appears that it means that medical records of every child will be open to inspection by the government, so that they can determine the medical history of a child, whether the child has had a vaccine adverse reaction before, or whether, for example, the child has an allergy to chicken eggs in which some vaccines are produced, or whether somebody else in the family has had a history of adverse reactions to vaccines. Well, all of this implies that you develop a very tight system for looking up the medical records of everybody in order to determine, supposedly, whether or not an exemption will be granted to a child. So this destroys privacy. It opens up all medical records, and it places everything in the hands of the government to decide whether or not little Johnny gets an exemption from vaccines. And of course, it also tends to cut out the possibility that little Johnny will be exempt from vaccines given, say, on the day of birth, like hepatitis B vaccine, or any other vaccine that's given very early in his life. So this is just pure fascism at work. Mm. And it's saying to all doctors, we don't trust you. Just because you say that this child should be exempt from vaccination now means nothing. We don't care why. We don't care what your reasoning is. We immediately, in fact, will put you on a list of suspect doctors who want to write or have written exemptions from vaccination. And so even the doctors are now cut out of the equation. Well, I don't know where they're going to go next, but this is pretty heavy. Pretty heavy.
It's, yeah. It's, well, welcome to 1984 Australia. We're now in a full-blown medical tyranny. And you wouldn't think that, John, because You know, we're such a big country and only a small population. We're surrounded by the sea and forests, and it's very clean here. We have, you know, first world standards. We have a fantastic clean system running here in Australia. So you wouldn't think that Australia would have this medical tyranny going on. Apparently, we need this. But yeah, you're right. It's getting crazy. I think it's turning into this face-off here. With the government and the people, and I think the next is alternative media. I heard the Prime Minister say that they're going to crack down on anyone spreading misinformation about vaccines as they see it. But yeah, you were mentioning in Victoria there the no jab, no play changes to crack down on rogue GPs. And of course, if you're a GP that abides by the system and you do what you're told and you hand out and you dish out your vaccines and your drugs to little children and people and your antibiotics and everything, and you don't make a fuss, then you're a good doctor. But if you question anything, then you're a terrorist. This is the Andrews Labor government. Of course, Jill Hennessy, we'll go into her in a minute too, Minister of Health. This woman has the audacity to call herself a Minister of Health when she has no background in health and no idea what she's talking about. But they're getting very nasty now, and they're bringing in new legislation, as you said, to make it tougher with these vaccination requirements and also, yeah, all this. So I didn't really post that. I can put it up with the, you know, with a link today if people want to have a look and read through it. But things are getting tough down in Victoria. John, there, she says, we make no apologies. Jill Hennessy says we make no apologies for cracking down on rogue doctors who don't put the health of our community first. The science is crystal clear. Vaccinations are safe and save lives. This is the woman that said on national television, Jill Hennessy, that there's no risks in vaccinating children. Not one risk, John. So that went all over the world. Natural News picked it up. You know, Mike Adams did a video and like three articles. He got picked up all over. People couldn't believe it. And you know, she also was involved in the tweet scandal. I put that up just recently again as well, where she lied about being sent these tweets by the anti-vaccination community. And and they actually have proof that she lied about that. And you can see all the information there. And she's still in office, still working and still getting her cushy payments. And, you know, it's unbelievable. And I've just heard recently she wants to bring in new laws in Victoria to ban all unvaccinated children from primary school. That hasn't come in, but that's what where she's going as well. You know, it's getting heated up. It's heating up for sure. She won't answer any of our questions. She won't get involved in our side in any way. She doesn't know anything about vaccines or vaccine safety or science or anything like this. So it's an amazing to see this horrible human being up there doing this. It's unbelievable. She seems to have a grudge against the so-called anti-vaccination community as well, John. So it's like a personal vendetta for this woman as well. And I think she's mentally unstable, to be honest.
There's other thing here when she talks about rogue doctors. Like I say, you know, now you can define that. In other words, it's a circular argument. If you are a doctor, medical doctor, and you write an exemption, by definition, you're now a rogue doctor. And if you're a rogue doctor, then they're going to go after you. Therefore, you're going to have something approaching zero doctors who will dare to write an exemption for any reason. So that just closes the door. You know, some doctor says, well, wait a minute, they're going after rogue doctors. So what does that mean? Well, that means, for example, you wrote an exemption for vaccine. Oh, I see. Okay, well, I better not do that then, otherwise I'll be labeled a rogue doctor. Never mind whether or not the exemption should be written. And by the way, when she says the science is crystal clear, she's an idiot. She has no idea what she's talking about. Because I wrote another piece this last week on the flu vaccine. So now a study has come out of, in America out of, and this was a government-funded federal study at one of the highest levels, the National Institutes of Health, a branch of that, researchers from the University of Pennsylvania and Scripps Institute in California. And they said, well, guess what? We can now explain the low effectiveness of the flu vaccine. Whoa, you're admitting that the flu vaccine has a low rate of effectiveness, right? In the title of the paper, right, in the study. And so what they did was they said, well, here's what happens. The flu vaccine or some of the flu vaccines are cultured in chicken eggs. So when they put a flu virus into the chicken egg, which is the standard procedure, because that's what they do. They put a virus in the vaccine that supposedly is going to create immunity. That virus in chicken eggs mutates into another form. So therefore, when you get that vaccination, you're not even getting the vaccination for the seasonal flu virus that you were supposed to. You're getting a vaccination against a mutated form of the virus that is not circulating among the population. Well, that means that it's going to be ineffective. And that's what the study authors are talking about. So right there, any statement that she makes about vaccines, crystal clear, effective, and safe, she doesn't have a clue. She's just a puppet who is determined to act like a good puppet as if she knows what she's talking about. She's no better than some moron news anchor who's claiming that vaccines are safe and effective based on zero knowledge. In the same piece that I wrote this week, I reminded people of a piece in the British Medical Journal that was written in 2013 by Peter Doshi, in which Doshi points out that every year in the U.S., hundreds of thousands of blood samples from so-called flu patients are sent to labs for analysis, and 84% come back with no trace of any flu virus whatsoever. In other words, 84% of the people who are either diagnosed as flu patients by doctors or are the most likely flu patients don't have the flu. So even if you believe in mainstream vaccine theory, 84% of the time, nothing is going to work in terms of a vaccine because these people who have these generalized symptoms that are diagnosed with the flu don't have the flu. They just don't have it. So how could they be protected by a vaccine? Or how could they have been protected by a vaccine? These generalized symptoms like fever, cough, fatigue, etc., could be caused by any number of things that have nothing to do with the flu virus. So there again, the whole question of effectiveness of the vaccine is just out the window, completely out the window. And I've talked before with you about the infamous case of the swine flu supposed epidemic in 2009, where the Centers for Disease Control in America stopped counting swine flu cases because, once again, overwhelmingly, the blood samples from these diagnosed people, or most likely people with swine flu, were coming back from labs with no trace of swine flu or any other kind of flu. So secretly, the CDC stopped counting swine flu cases in America, while at the same time, they kept claiming that there were millions of these cases. So they were just lying outright, and they knew it. The lies never quit. People have to stand up, and they have to find new ways of getting the information out to more and more people in Australia and other countries about the truth here.
Yeah, well, that came out here as well. They just came out the the health authorities, as they call themselves, on national television not long ago. We're going into the summer here, but they openly admitted everywhere that the flu vaccine doesn't work. I guess right. The best way they can shovel it is poor results, or you know, that the flu strains are mutating too fast for the vaccines to keep up, and we need to get in there and keep developing better vaccines, even though people are dying from getting vaccinated and getting the flu from getting vaccinated with these weapons, because they're directly attacking the immune system. But yeah, they came out and they just tried to put sugar on top of it, kept sprinkling
exactly
sugar
they
on top.
They turn around and they say, yeah, it's not effective, but you should get the vaccine anyway.
Get it anyway.
You know, that's their conclusion, which is totally insane. Why would you want to get something that's ineffective? You know, on a lower level of analogy, you know, it would be like saying, well, the cars that we sell don't work. You get them out of the lot, you buy the car, and they break down within 5 minutes. But you should buy the car anyway. Keep buying the car because we say so. So this is the kind of insanity that these people who claim to be the authorities, either government authorities like Jill Hennessy or medical bureaucrats or doctors who are part of the system, or news anchors, you know, they keep showing up. I mean, what would happen? Well, we were emailing about this. Say to these people, well, why don't you get Jill Hennessy? You take all the vaccines on the schedule, however many that is. That's a lot of vaccines and a lot of booster shots, you know, 70, 80 shots at least. Let's see you. Let's see your medical records. Let's see how many vaccines you've taken, how many boosters, and where you're lacking. And the same for all of you news anchors and medical bureaucrats and the doctors who are part of the system. Let's see you line up. We want your names. We want to see video of you getting vaccinated. And then we're going to track you for a year or so, and let's see what your adverse reactions are. And let's see whether you get any flu or anything like it. Step up to the plate. It used to be in the old days that when a doctor or researcher developed a new medication that he thought was promising for some condition, the first thing he did was take it himself to see if it was safe. He assumed it was safe. He thought it was safe. Everything that he could analyze about it told him that it was safe. Well, take it himself. Let's see what happens. No more. We had a situation like that years and years ago with the smallpox vaccine in America, where there was suddenly an announcement out of nowhere that smallpox could be a terrorist operation. The virus could be spread throughout America, and then people would come down with horrible smallpox and die and so on. So our version of the Minister of Health, Tommy Thompson, said to America, there is a vial of smallpox vaccine with your name on it, everybody in America. And we're setting up centers where we're going to vaccinate everybody. And on television, George W. Bush, who was the president at the time, he got a shot just to prove that, you know, he was going along with it. Well, then doctors actually in America began to speak up and say, hey, wait a minute. This is a dangerous vaccine for people whose immune systems are compromised already. This can cause people to get smallpox. Doctors began saying this and talking to reporters, and mainstream articles began to appear. And then all of a sudden, the whole campaign and all of the declarations of warning about terrorism from smallpox went away. And then the same idiot, Tommy Thompson, the minister of health, so to speak, came out and said that he was recommending that none of Bush's cabinet get the vaccine. And that was the end of the whole thing. As far as I know, the only person in America who was vaccinated against smallpox was George W. Bush. And so they just canceled the whole thing because it was all based on a horrendous lie, which was that the vaccine was safe. It's not safe. It's horrendously dangerous.
Yeah.
So I've written about so many of these situations and events and lies that expose the liars from one end to the other. So how are they going to crack down on alternative news in Australia? What do you think they're going to do?
I don't know. I sent you some censorship sort of things from Facebook anyway. I mean, they're already doing it on Facebook. Because we'll talk about the AVN founder, Merrill Dorey, putting up that challenge to for Minister Hennessy to be vaccinated. But when I posted that on her page and then I clicked on it, it said the they can't find that. Can't find it. But the link was up. And so you get that. But I heard the Prime Minister, Turnbull, this guy's a, but I heard him probably about a couple of months ago. I couldn't find it, though, but he was on TV talking about vaccines, and he said basically he wasn't concerned because that's going ahead fine with the vaccine push, but he mentioned media in particular, which would be alternative, pushing what he called, you know, false and misleading propaganda and all this kind of stuff, that's what they want to target. Because it's, you know, we're making such a, having such an effect now, in this country in particular, you know, because it's quite new, this kind of alternative media. I mean, when I first went on Facebook, there wasn't anyone on there really. And in a couple of years, John, it's just unbelievable. Some of these groups, it's just huge. There's a whole can of worms being opened up here. And so the government are becoming more desperate to maintain the lie and push this, you know, vaccination agenda through, and more people are getting spooked because of it. And so it's just, you know, as I said, it's this huge face-off. I don't know where it's going to go. But, you know, I remember it was probably, I don't know, it was sometime this year, I sent you an article on Bill Shorten. He's the opposition leader in Australia. God help Australia if this guy gets voted in, John. He was actually being investigated a while ago for sexual assault on a young girl. And so, you know, but I think we're seeing politically a change here. We're having a big change in Queensland at the moment with the One Nation Party, who are pro-choice. They look like they could clean up, and we're getting a lot of problems. We're getting a lot of people turning away from the two major parties. And so the Greens, who are just utterly pathetic and for mandatory vaccination, you know, the Greens leader came out and said fluoride's completely safe and the science is settled. They're trying to worm in with the Labor Party now to join up, you know, because they're getting so desperate. So I think their days are numbered. But I sent you an article on him pushing vaccines. He doesn't know anything about it. And you said a while ago that these politicians need to be vaccinated. They need to put their money where their mouth is. They need to roll up their sleeves. And they need to be vaccinated and tracked over the next 4 or 5 years. And we need to have this publicly seen. So this is what AVN founder Merrill Dorey has done just recently. She's the past president and founder of the AVN, Australia's National Vaccine Safety Consumer Health Lobby Group, and she's called upon Victorian Health Minister Jill Hennessy to vaccinate, that there are no risk in vaccinating your children. So she's asking the minister to do voluntarily what she is forcing upon our children, and to take the whole entire vaccination schedule over the next 4 years, starting with the birth dose of hepatitis B and continuing on to the four-year-old dose of DTP and IPV, and this is all to be tracked, and the ministers to have complete physicals and blood work tests and all of this. I guess she's got to take the adult doses as well. They've got to check her condition through this, and of course at the conclusion of the 4-year period, A small amount of each vaccine vial is to be drawn out just prior to injection to be assessed at an independent laboratory, of course. That's what they're saying. Mm-hmm. Unless she's got any seizure problems, disorders, chronic allergies, anything like that, they have to find out that. And this needs to be administered, and she needs to pucker up and roll up her sleeves publicly to prove to the people, because Jill Hennessy pushes vaccines like a drug rep on steroids, you know. I mean, she's like this out-of-control wild animal running around Victoria, John, you know, with pushing these vaccines onto our kids. And it's unbelievable. It's like a comedy. It's like a cartoon watching this. So I think this is a very just thing to do. And as I said, you mentioned this ages ago, and I think Meryl's, she gets attacked, extraordinarily attacked. I think it's, you know, but I've spoken to her. She's a very, very nice lady, and she's very in control. And I think this is a very good thing. I think this is a very simple thing, John, to ask a health minister of Victoria, considering she wants mandatory vaccinations. I don't think she's going to stop, and so she needs to do this. And I think it's
a great idea.
I mean, you've said it. I mean,
of course, I've been saying it for a long time about these so-called experts and leaders and so forth, because I'm quite sure that most of them have not gotten the full schedule of vaccines. Full. And so they need to, you know, like you say, step up to the plate. Let's see it. Let's track it. Let's verify it to make sure they're just not getting injected with water. Mm-hmm. You know, that they're not lying.
Doses. 41 sure. vaccinations. Yep.
Yeah. You know, which is going to amount to, I don't know, at least, I would think, 90 or 100 shots with boosters and so forth. Let's catch up. You do it. Let's watch what happens to you. Let's hear all the lies and so on and so forth, you know, that are being spilled. And then if she gets sick and something happens, then she'll know. She'll know that she's wrong. And that she's been lying and endangering the health of everybody in Australia, everybody certainly in Victoria. Oh. So that's a plan. And more alternative websites in Australia should be demanding that. It should be spread, sent to major media, sent out all over the place to everybody in the country. This is only fair. You know, Jill Hennessy, get all your vaccinations. Let's see what happens to you. Hey, maybe she'll say, in a fit of insanity, okay, here we go. You never know. Mm. If the pressure builds. You know, because, well, you could say the same thing about war. And I have. Okay, you want to wage war against somebody and destroy their country? Okay. You're going to have land troops in there? Good. You generals that are 50 and 60 that are sitting back somewhere looking at the whole thing on screens, and you presidents and prime ministers and senators and congressmen and whatever, legislators, come on down. Going to give you uniforms and weapons and put you out on the front lines because you're the ones who voted for the war. You think it's so important. So you go out there and risk your life along with everybody else that you're sending out there. And let's see how brave you are when the bullets start flying. You know, it's only fair in so many areas.
Why should they sit in their glass towers with their black gloves on, you know, polishing things and counting their money when young men are out there getting their asses blown off? I mean, you first.
Of course. I mean, you go right out there at the head of the line.
That's right.
It's the same thing in America. I don't know what happens in Australia, but for example, in some states in America, you've got what we call dietitians who have a stranglehold on nutritional counseling.
Yep, same here.
You know, okay, so they get some kind of half-cocked education that's ridiculous. As far as food groups and what's healthy and so forth, you know, it's all tied in with the food industry, and it's just, you know, preposterous. Okay, and so somebody comes along who, let's say, really knows about nutrition but doesn't have a degree as a dietitian. In some states, they can't practice. They can't do counseling with clients. All right, so let's take some of these dietitians and let's put them on their own diets exclusively for a couple of years, 3-4 years, and let's see what happens to them. They think they know everything. They're quite sure they know everything. Great. Same thing for unnecessary surgeries, which are in the thousands. Let's have the surgeons get the surgery, see what happens to them. You know, it's the same pattern throughout society. We know what's right, and we're telling you, you have to do it. Of course, we don't have to do it. Mm. We don't have to do it. No, you have to do it. You know, you're the ones who are saying it. So get out there and be an example of whatever it is. You know?
That's right. I mean, you're going to get up and push something to the extremes, you know, people would at least expect you to participate in whatever you're pushing or consume whatever you're pushing, and, you know, each day. So, yeah, it's unbelievable. We actually had dietitians here who were up in arms. They were furious because this simple guy came out and he was explaining how in all our supermarket sort of foods now, they're dumping all this excess oils, like vegetable oils. You know, palm oils and stuff like that. And he was saying, you know, like for the families, you just, you know, he was pointing this out. He was on this TV show and he was telling families just to eat butter, you know, go and get yourself some butter, don't eat the margarine. And the, you know, the dietitians were furious, absolutely furious about it. They were coming in and ranting and raving because, you know, these big oil industries, they're very powerful, they have a lot of money. And obviously these dietitians, I think, are involved with a lot of these people as well, you know. And
of course,
for a dietitian to be furious over a guy telling people not to eat margarine, which is almost plastic, and, you know, it's amazing. And they just expose themselves too, you know, a lot. And God knows who takes them seriously anymore. You know, I wouldn't know.
Yeah, but you would have to be a total moron to take them seriously.
Oh, my God.
You know, they don't know anything, and they're just pushing an agenda and claiming that it's science, which is rampant. I mean, we've talked about this many times before, but you get official science, which is a total pretense, and then everybody stands up and salutes and says this is the truth because it's science, and if you doubt it, then you are some kind of a superstitious caveman, you know. But then you dig below the surface and you find out the science is really fake. And, you know, I spend, I don't know how many hours over the last 35 years doing exactly that. And I publish statements on my website. You know, occasionally I get a letter from somebody who is deranged or totally misinformed telling me that I'm not paying any attention to medical studies that prove the opposite of what I'm saying and so forth. And then, so once in a while I reprint an article. For instance, one of the most prestigious medical journals in the world, the New England Journal of Medicine, an editor for 20 years, Marcia Angell, MD, published a statement after she left, or shortly before she left her post in a prominent magazine in New York, saying that she has to say sadly that after 20 years as an editor there, that she can no longer trust doctors' guidelines and clinical studies and so forth and so on. In other words, everything that she had been doing as an editor was thrown into doubt. Everything. All of the studies in her journal, which hyped the benefits of various new drugs based on clinical trials, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. All of that was completely thrown into doubt by her very measured and calculated statement. The editor of The Lancet, another very prestigious journal in England, made a very similar statement. So, you know, this is all fake science. All of it is totally disreputable. And that goes for the so-called science of vaccinations. There is no reason to believe any of the published material on it. For example, and here's what you really would call omission. We've been talking about the huge number of vaccines and shots that a child or an adult is supposed to have. Well, this is now, we're not talking about single vaccination anymore. We're talking about vaccines that have several different viruses in them for several different diseases. And we're talking about the pile-on effect of having many, many vaccinations in a short period of time. So where are the studies, the well-done long-term studies published that show that the combinations of all of these vaccines are safe? You know, you're supposed to do that kind of work before you start pumping material into people's bodies by injection. There isn't any science on it. You find me one well-done, long-term, correctly put-together study illustrating the safety of combinations of vaccines in a large group. Go ahead, look for it. Try to find one anywhere in the medical literature. There isn't any. They've never done it, and they claim it's not necessary. Well, you can claim that if you want to, you know, but it would be like claiming, well, because a microscopic amount of pesticide doesn't really cause cancer, therefore, if somebody is ingesting large amounts of pesticide over a period of time, we can assume that that's safe too. No, you can't. In fact, it's probably just the opposite. It's the same thing with vaccines. Same situation. There is no science about this. So again, somebody like Jill Hennessy, at best, she's a complete idiot. At best. She doesn't know anything.
Nothing.
You know? I've published article after article about fake news, mainstream TV, news anchors,
right,
and how they present the news, not just about science and medicine, but about everything. They know nothing. The reason they pick up such a big paycheck is because they give the impression to the viewing audience that they do know. That's their skill. They're actors. So to the degree that they can impart that impression of authority, that's why they get the big money. That's what it's all about. They don't know anything. They don't do the research personally. And the people on their staffs who do the research, as skimpy as it is, don't know anything either. They never dig below the surface. If one of these researchers came up to a famous TV anchor and said, look, you're going to go on the air tonight with the story about the safety of medicines, but I have to tell you that I found some really convincing counter evidence here that shows that a lot of people are dying every year from these FDA, Ministry of Health approved medicines. The anchor is going to look at him and say, what are you, crazy? We're not going to pay any attention to that. And that researcher, that assistant, is now going to be looked at askance. Like, this guy could be dangerous. He doesn't know how to play the game. The game is relying on the same authorities over and over again. He's obviously off track here, and maybe we should get rid of him or demote him to some other position. That's how the news is built.
Well, a lot of people here still getting very upset and confused about how these news anchors, as you say, and commentators and these shills up there can say what they say. I mean, there's a show here called The Project, which is a terrible show. I don't know how anyone watches it. I just get sent the information. I don't actually watch it, you know, but people send me stuff and I post it. These are a group of people on a panel that just mouth off every night, and you know, they just push their agenda, you know, push their agendas. But people get so upset about it, but they don't know anything. I mean, I don't think people connect the dots, John, that if these people got up on national television and spoke how they really feel, you know, or gave their own opinions, they wouldn't have a job on Monday morning, you know. So they go in there, I guess they sit in their chairs, they get their makeup done, and they go out there and they just act and do and display and say and everything what the network tells them, and nothing more or nothing less. That's their job. And so I said to people, you know, don't get so upset. I don't think they care either way. They don't know anything about vaccines. Absolutely nothing. I mean, you could get anyone on there who just knows a tiny bit about vaccines to ask them a basic question, and they'll talk over the top of you, try and make you look like a conspiracy theorist and push you off the air. You know, they don't know anything. You know, so they have their own segments where they can call this a debate, just being, you know, acting out with this nasty vindictive behavior and attacking you know, hard-working parents in this country who just simply want to protect their children from medical assault, for God's sakes, you know. These vaccines aren't safe. Everybody knows that. They're not safe. We've got a lot of cases of damage here in Australia alone. I mean, I've got files of stuff. Anyone can go to the crasfiles.com and see the category I put up, vaccine damage. It's all from the mainstream media. So for health ministers to be getting up on national television and saying there's absolutely no risks and the science has settled and it's completely safe, it's unbelievable. I mean, get up there on national television, John, and ask these anchors and commentators how many vaccines are on the schedule in Australia. You know, they wouldn't know. What's in them? Can you name me the exact ingredients in the MMR vaccine? You know, can you tell us how herd immunity works? Can you explain what a flu is and how a flu vaccine is going to help? And all this sort of stuff. I mean, just basic things they don't know. They don't know a single thing. But they feel the need to get up there and open their mouths. So it's quite unbelievable. But I say to people, don't get upset about it. Just keep going your own way and be positive. And keep posting what we're putting up. And we need our information to get out to everyday people who might be on the fence. That's the important thing. For people. So it's a great challenge, that, John. And Meryl Dorey is pretty big in Australia. They will get her on the morning breakfast shows. So I've seen her many times. She's not just in the anti-vaccination movement here and there. She's quite a big figure in this country. That's why they're after her. So this she's claiming that she wants an answer by next week by the Minister for Health, Jill Hennessy. So that will be interesting to track. Indeed. But you mentioned that just now. It's so interesting, all these studies. They keep going on about their peer-reviewed studies and the science being settled and done. But, you know, you just said it there. I mean, what are these studies, John? What are these peer-reviewed studies? How many vaccines have they actually studied? And ingredients in those vaccines, I mean, it's... they, you know, according to all these vaccine-pushing cult members, you know, it's all done. It's all completely... airtight, sound, and the science has settled. It's finished, but they've done nothing.
I'll give you another example.
Injecting this stuff into kids. How do you know what you don't know what's going into their bodies?
Exactly. I mean, you would think common sense, children, infants. Okay, well, we better watch out what we're injecting into infants. And then the experts say, no, you don't have to worry about a thing. In fact, we have a vaccine that you give the day that a baby is born, hepatitis B. Oh, yeah, what's that for? Well, that's, you know, people get diseases when they share needles, drug users or the sexually promiscuous. Oh, I see. So the baby is being protected against that, right? Uh-huh. With a vaccine on the day that the baby is born. And you don't think that that's a problem? No, of course not. I mean, just common sense tells you that these people are not only idiots, but they're vicious.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely vicious, right? Because they keep defending something that is obviously loaded with extreme danger. The baby doesn't even have an immune system of its own. So the theory of vaccination is that by putting a germ, a virus, let's say, in a vaccine, it's going to stimulate a person's immune system to produce antibodies, elements of their own immune system, as a kind of rehearsal for the day when the actual disease virus shows up, et cetera, et cetera. Okay. Well, how are you going to explain how that works when a baby or even a young child doesn't have an immune system of their own yet? I mean, come on, right?
That's right.
Somehow this is going to substitute for having an immune system? No, the whole purpose of the vaccine is to stimulate the immune system. If you don't have one, then nothing happens except serious harm can happen. I'll give you another example. In America, The real key, which medical experts refuse to acknowledge about any medicine or vaccine or so forth, is what happens after it's released for public use. I mean, that, again, is just common sense. No matter what the studies were and so on and so forth, where the rubber meets the road is, well, what happens when you actually release it to the general public and doctors begin using it and prescribing it and so forth? Well, when you come to vaccines in America, and I'm sure the same is true in every country, nobody knows, because there is no registry. In America, there is something called the Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System. That's a federal database. However, doctors don't have to report adverse reactions that their patients suffer after being vaccinated. There is no law about that. So what doctor is going to report, well, I gave this very young child a vaccine and 12 hours later, he started screaming and developed a fever of 106 and now has brain damage. I mean, is a doctor really going to report that when there's no legal binding need for him to do so? So among the apparent roughly 12,000 adverse events reported in America every year to that database, nobody really knows how many of those reports are true, how many are false, how many doctors have withheld how many reports because they didn't want to be known as causing brain damage in a child with a vaccine. It's a total mess. So when they say, well, we know the vaccines are safe. Really? Because you did a half-cocked study in a group of people who received the vaccine and what happened to them within a period of, say, 36 hours after they got the vaccine? That's the limit of what you would consider an adverse reaction? No, the rubber meets the road after it happens, after the public is now being exposed. And when it comes to medical drugs, as I've often mentioned with you, you know, I've accumulated reports published in mainstream journals over the years to analyze how many people are killed every year by medicines that are approved as safe and effective in America. And a conservative estimate that was published in the Journal of the American Medical Association in the year 2000 was 106,000 Americans every year are killed by medicines that are approved as safe and effective. 106,000, that would be over a million every decade. And I interviewed the doctor, Barbara Starfield, who wrote that study. And she told me, she said, that's a conservative estimate. She says, since I published that, other studies have pegged the figure higher. Now, that doesn't account for maiming and injuring and wounding people with approved medicines in America. We're now in the millions per year, if we're talking about that. These are mainstream reports that try to put together a clear picture of what happens when the medicines are actually released to the public, not the clinical trials that lead to the approval, because those can be rigged and faked and hidden and so forth, but the actual living experience of people. Well, it's the same thing with vaccines. In America, in Australia, in Canada, England, every country, every continent in the world. So people that just automatically assume that everything is okay are playing Russian roulette with their children's lives.
Hmm. That's right. Yep. It's not worth it. John, not worth it at all, you know?
No. I mean, look what's happened with these opioid drugs that are now an epidemic, and I think in every country in the world. These were approved as safe and effective.
Yeah.
Two pharmaceutical companies in America have now been busted for racketeering. In other words, they were lying to doctors, paying doctors to prescribe these horrendous painkillers when they were unnecessary for conditions for which they were never approved over the long term, which is extremely damaging. Over 30,000 Americans are dying a year just from those drugs. Opioids. And the Congress passed a law last year, and it was signed by Obama. He refuses to talk about it now. He's been asked, and he is not going to comment. That made it much, much harder, almost impossible for law enforcement in America to stop these pharmaceutical companies from sending out huge shipments of these opioid pills, which are obviously trafficking, not legal. They're sending gigantic amounts to small pharmacies and small medical clinics in the middle of nowhere. They know they're traffickers. Everybody knows it. And now the Department of Justice in America is hamstrung and straitjacketed and can't just march into a big pharmaceutical company and say, hey, we know you're trafficking. We know the shipments. We're going to freeze the shipments, and we're taking you to court. It's now, I mean, I can't overestimate how difficult it is now for that to happen. So now you have collaboration between the Congress in America, the medical cartel, the pharmaceutical manufacturers, the doctors, to addict millions of Americans to these horrendous drugs and kill them. That's your medical system at work. Why would you trust people like this with any drug or any vaccine?
Yeah. You said it. That's right. It's an unbelievable situation, John. We would just tell people to go their own way. Be very careful here. you know.
Yeah, the parents and the children are the target. They're being targeted. This is not, people have to understand, this is not, no matter what anybody is saying, they're either completely ignorant or they are an agent. When they're talking about how much they care about parents and their children, it's the opposite. The parents and the children are being targeted by these medical authorities.
That's right.
And by the pharmaceutical companies. And, you know, how deep the conspiracy goes, for what reasons, we've talked about before on this show. I've talked about it many times over many years. But even if you just say it's for the money and the profits, it doesn't matter, because the targeting is the same. It's complete, hostile, vicious indifference to human life at its most vulnerable. And the parents have to realize that they are the targets. That's what it's all about. We are targeting, we the drug companies and we the vaccine manufacturers and we the government are targeting you with hostile indifference, at the very least, to force you and your children to take these shots, come hell or high water. We don't care. We sleep well at night. We're fine. So shut up and just do what we tell you to do.
Yeah, it's like an episode of The Twilight Zone.
Mm-hmm.
You see these news anchors and news, you know, news people up there and you know, these celebrities, that's what they really are, on these gossip kind of chat shows now. And, you know, and some of these women are quite attractive and young, and they're up there with their makeup and their hair done and these glamorous, nice, glossy sets, and they're chatting away, and everything's just so, so fantastic in their world, in their little TV bubble world, you know, that's so detached from any reality that I'm aware of. It's absolutely ridiculous. It's ludicrous.
But,
you know, these people do have kids and stuff, John, and given they're just celebrities on TV, but, you know, people can't, it's hard to comprehend what these people are doing, because, you know, I mean, there are many, many mums and dads. I'm not having a go at anyone. I'm just saying there's a lot of people out there watching these shows and they're coming to their conclusions looking at vaccines and whether or not vaccinated. They might be on the fence and they're watching these shows and they're going and vaccinating their kids. And I've said this so many times that, you know, that's Russian roulette with a needle, you know, and you take your little one, 6-month-old little one down to get their first shots. You don't know what's going to happen. You know, you might, like a lot of people, notice or may not notice a decline in their health, you know, or they could have an immediate adverse reaction. It could be severe. And when these kids have a severe reaction and they die, John, they're just collateral damage for the pharmaceutical industry. They don't care. But, you know, your child, like we've had here in Australia, we've had big cases of this brain damage where these children have had a flu shot. We talked about it with you. And they've been put in a wheelchair for the rest of their life. This family's life is destroyed. And these TV anchors and these warped, demented, clown-like maniacs on these shows, you know, going around pushing vaccines like, you know, they're like part of a cult. These vaccination-pushing maniacs, they're not going to be there for you. You know, they're not going to be there to go through this with your family and look after your child. They're not going to be sitting at the bedside while your child's in a vegetative state, you know, in some, you know, hospital somewhere. Then they don't care. They're gone out of your life. And the thing is, here with the doctors, John, if a family does vaccinate their kid and they have an adverse reaction, the doctors don't want anything to do with them. You know, of course, because they don't want them to draw attention back to what a vaccine can do to a child, to a human being.
So, exactly. You know, and now look what's happening with these so-called rogue doctors, because this vicious new level of the campaign in Victoria also relates not just to doctors who would dare to write an exemption to vaccination, but to a doctor who would speak up out of some sense of ethics after vaccinating a child. And saying, I don't like to say this, but I know that after giving this child the MMR or whatever, that that child is now brain damaged for life. I know it's true. And I can't, in all honesty, and keep quiet about it. Okay, now that doctor is all of a sudden going to be a rogue doctor too, rogue. By definition. Mm-hmm. That doctor is now going to be attacked. That doctor is now going to be run out of business and license stripped, patients told not to go see that doctor anymore, et cetera, et cetera. So there's a new bubble that grows out of this horrendous campaign against so-called rogue doctors. I mean, these doctors take an oath. They may not care about the oath, but it's still an oath. And the first part of the oath that's from ancient times is to do no harm. Okay, so how is a doctor going to honor that oath if he's afraid to lose his business by speaking the truth? Either saying that there should be exemptions, that he's willing to write them, or that he has himself given a vaccine to a child that destroyed that child for life. If he can't do that, then, you know, how could anybody trust as a patient going to that doctor? I mean, you know, if it were me, I wouldn't be within 10 miles of a doctor like that, because I know he's going to lie. I know he's going to stay silent. I know he's going to follow a protocol without knowing anything about it, really. He's going to prescribe certain medicines. He doesn't really know what the effects of those medicines are, and he doesn't care. Maybe he's read a few studies. That's about it. He knows nothing about the real world effects of the medicine or the vaccine. And he's not willing to speak up when he should. That's a dangerous person right there.
Right.
Very dangerous person.
All right. Yeah. Yeah, it is. Well, John, no jab, no play changes to crack down on rogue GPs. There you go. False and misleading vaccination exemptions written up by dodgy doctors, which puts the community health and safety of others at risk. So there you go. That's what's happening in Victoria. So I guess, John, what with the banning, Hennessy wanting to block kids from having an education in primary school, I was just reading a document the other day with some pediatrician groups and doctor groups coming forward and saying this is wrong. You can't go ahead with
yes,
this.
Yes, I saw
stop.
That. You sent
you
me
can't
that.
Stop them
exactly.
Getting an education. I mean, you and I might not have much faith in the education system, but this is going to disadvantage severely families who can't put their kids in primary school and they're working and stuff. This is terrible. So I'm hoping that we're going to see an avalanche here. I'm hoping we're going to see a huge backlash here. And what we do need, John, is doctors, because they're in a powerful position. They have a lot of power, and they always have in the community. People do respect doctors, and I respect doctors who are going to stand up like some of them have here. And we need a lot of them to do that. And I think if a lot of them start coming out and we start seeing this move forward, you know, pediatricians and groups, and they start getting backing here and we can get this forward, what are they going to do, the government? They're going to be in trouble.
That's why they're picking on just a couple. That's why they're so determined to label these rogue doctors. Yeah, because 100 doctors in Australia stepping forward.
Yes.
Would change the entire country.
That's right.
100 stepping forward. And they know that. They may be crazy, but they're not stupid. They know that if 100 doctors in Australia step forward and said, wait a minute, what you're hearing is wrong. It's false. Let me tell you the truth. 100 doctors would change the future of Australia. So there you have it.
Right now, the government have got boots on each hand and they're trying to put out all these little spot fires. But, you know, the fires are going to keep coming up and they're not going to be able to put them all out. So they're going to get out of control. So now they're trying to scare them as well by stripping their license. The media are making a fool of them. Just absolute terrible, nasty media, what they're doing to these doctors, just trying to destroy their careers and their life, and going in, raiding their offices, taking the confidential records, and that's going to scare the hell out of any doctor. So that's what they're doing, you know. It's getting a worry, so we can only hope for that. But I think they need to form a big group or something, John, and come out together, all in one, mm-hmm. you know, come out together and
yeah,
hold hands.
They need
do it
to
together.
Do both. They yeah. need to come out separately and as groups and so forth. There need to be a number of these fires. Because if it's just one group, I mean, that's good. I read the piece you sent me about a group that's saying, wait a minute, you can't deny education and so forth, and parents should have the right to decide whether to vaccinate their children. But if it's just one group, then that group can be attacked as a group. But if it's five or six or seven different groups, and then it's also 60 or 70 different doctors separately saying these things, all at the same, roughly the same time, now you've got something that is going to really rise up. So you need both. And any doctors who are listening to this, who are wondering what to do, you know, we understand that you never believed when you went to medical school that you would face a choice like this, that it would come to this, that your rosy future as a doctor would suddenly look very much different, and that you would be in a hard place having to make very serious moral choices. We understand that, but that time has come, regardless of whether you predicted it or thought it might happen or not. It does happen. And the future of cities, towns, villages, states, countries depend upon individuals who have reached that point where they understand that they're now in a position to make a hard choice as to what they will do. What will you do? How will you jump? Which side will you be on? You know, we live in a world, in a society where the whole concept of ethics and morality has been degraded to such a point. Not by accident, by the way. So that it appears that there isn't any payoff for being honorable and honest, and only a fool would do that. But that's not really the case. It's never the case. We have to bring back the whole concept of making the moral and ethical choice. And surprisingly, when people do that and they explain it well as to why they're standing up for what they're standing up for, people respond. They wake up. They're reminded of certain basic principles of right and wrong and human behavior, and they respond. They come to your side. It may not seem that way, but if enough people stand up and do this, you'll see gigantic waves of approval.
That's right.
So do it.
That's right, yep, and we just need a fair and balanced system. We bash doctors and the medical establishment a lot here because of the way it is in its current climate, but we just need a fair and balanced system. We need doctors to be on all sides. We need them to continue with their methods, but also be open to freedom of choice, and that vaccines and drugs can cause harm, and that there's a place for natural medicine in society, and it's people's right to choose that. And, you know, because people do have family doctors that they, you know, the family grow up with, and they keep them. And there is a place for that in our society, John, but it's going the wrong way now. And what the government are doing here is plainly wrong. You know, it's suicide in my view, and it's just gonna make the whole situation worse, which is probably what we need in a sick way, but it has to go somewhere, and I think a change is coming. But we need doctors to stand up. They, as you said, they took an oath, and I'm sure a lot of them are saying they don't want this, but they're just scared and worried, in this current climate in this country. But we need them to stand up and be counted here, because this isn't good for anyone, John. You know, it's just turning into a mess, you know, and it's just this huge mess that's been created, and we don't want this. You know, we want a fair and balanced system, like everybody does, you know. So let's hope we can achieve that goal, and we'll plug out today, John. In fact, maybe on our next podcast, as we head towards the end of the year, if you're able to do it, we might sort of do a podcast on your exit from the Matrix and the Matrix reveal, because you're offering some great tools here, teaching tools for people to sort of get out of this system and think differently, because they're attacking our minds. That's where they're getting us. And I think all these articles that you do, they're so different. I always put them in the afterlife and consciousness category on my website, but these are really good articles you put out, and this is a great system that people can get involved in. So we might sort of go through that a little bit and go over the basics of it and get that info out, put the links up for folks so they can get involved with this, because people need tools. And I feel like sometimes it can be a bit negative, this podcast, in what we're sort of the information we're putting forward. So I want to offer some positive tools that people can take in this life and have a look at that. So if you're okay with that, we can
Of course, I'd love to do that.
Yeah, we might do a whole podcast.
Yeah. Work that out. Yeah, I'd love to do that, because that is the bottom line on my work,
as
I've written many times. What I'm trying to do, I'm not trying to make people more depressed. I'm trying to expose what's happening so that people realize essentially that a fake reality is being created for them, and they have the power to create the kind of reality that they want to create. And that's the beginning of a very long conversation, but that's essentially why I keep working at No More Fake News all these years, so that both sides of the coin, so to speak, can be available to people. So, yes, let's definitely do that before the end of the year. I'd love to.
Absolutely. Yeah, don't let the system and these media people do the thinking for you. You know, people really need to understand the powers in their own hearts, in themselves, in their minds. They've got it there. So this is giving people a great tool, a key online, so easy to access, to open up this new doorway, to give them a new look at the world. And that's what we need, you know, and I think that's already happening. It's a change here, John. It's already here. It's happening. And we just need to be part of that and get on board.
Great. Thank you so much, Adam.
All right, we'll speak again soon. And John Rappaport's blog and nomorefakenews.com. Great websites. And thanks for your time today, buddy.
Thank you so much.
Have looked at
one thing, Jenny.
All right, thanks, John Rappaport, for a great chat today. And I'll just play this clip from the TV show The Doctors. It was quite interesting. Well, at least they're having a debate. They're not having any kind of debate here in Australia. They're nothing, absolutely nothing. But, you know, this was interesting. So thanks for listening.
And you know, I've got an open mind. Mm-hmm. But, you know, back in 1983, back in the 90s, you know, we did have children dying every week of meningitis, and you know, I remember doing rounds with my dad, and almost every day he'd need to go to the hospital and take care of a child that had some sort of vaccine preventable illness. And you know, with the increase of vaccines, we've seen a huge decline in some of the really nasty things that I'm so glad I don't have to deal with. You know, epiglottitis, meningitis, you know, a lot of pneumonias. You know, kids just aren't dying of that sort of stuff anymore. And as a pediatrician, that's the last thing I want to see, is for people to stop vaccinating, because we'll start seeing kids die of polio
again. Okay, let me tell you this. We do not need that many vaccines that we need. The chickenpox, I think, can be a parent's choice. The rotavirus, the flu shot that still contains mercury. JB, hepatitis B, go ahead.
Wait, know, the devil is always in the details. And one of the problems with vaccines is they've been so great that people overly generalize about them as if they're only great. We looked at other first world countries. We're 34th in under 5 mortality, behind such luminaries as Cuba, and Slovenia. However, we have 36 vaccines. The top five, which include countries like Finland, Norway, Iceland, average 11 and 13 vaccines. From 1994, we added 8 vaccines to our schedule. There are vaccines like flu, rotavirus, varicella that have only been picked up by 2 or 3 of the other 30 countries. So what do they know that we don't? Why aren't they picking up vaccines that have been around for 15 years? And why are their autism rates 1 in 1,000, 1 in 1,500, 1 in 2,000? It doesn't take a brain surgeon or an ER doctor to figure out there might be a correlation.
We don't want to narrow, be too narrow-minded and say it's only the vaccines and not ignore other potential problems.
In my opinion, and this is just me wanting to have an open debate about this, vaccines are really the one thing we have looked at as causing autism.
Yeah, and I agree with
that. That is completely bogus. That is such a bogus statement. How many vaccines have they looked at in these studies? How many? What's the answer? It's 2. How many ingredients have they studied of 35? What's the answer? It's 1. You've looked at 2 of 36 shots and 1 of 35 vaccines, and you're going to stand on the stage and say that vaccines and autism are unrelated? It is the most bogus tobacco science. It's a smokescreen. Anybody who takes the time to read it would agree. I'm so sick of doctors who don't read the studies, who don't know the details, sitting here telling parents and reassuring them that vaccines don't cause autism. It is irresponsible.
And this is the biggest problem, and the reason that doctors in this country are frustrated.
Read the
because,
science.
Listen, all you're doing is you're antagonizing a medical community that wants to help these kids.
You haven't done the research.
You're antagonizing me. You're antagonizing Dr. Sears.
Right.
Why would you do that?
Yeah,
this show is all about his
son.
Everyone wants to blame someone, right? Yes. This is what we're trying to figure out here is how to help kids. But all you do when you yell at me on my stage, all you do is anger me.
I'm sorry,
and
I hurt your feelings, but you didn't know the details.
I asked you to defend your stance, and all you did was attack me as an individual. Why would I want to listen to you when you do that
Don't
to me?
Cry.
Instead, I want to listen to Dr.
Crying.
Jerry here, who will rationally walk through why they're removing certain things from foods that could be causing problems, why we're removing environmental toxins that could be causing autism. You know, I want to help these kids live better lives just like everyone else. I don't understand why we all have to argue so much with one another, because when you attack, all you do is create frustration